The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
While we wait for Pakojo and the students to join us, when we talk about mental health and how it plays in children, what does it mean?
Right. So I think just to start off with, we all do have a mental health. So whether it's children, whether it's teenagers, whether it's adults, we all do have a mental health. And I'm going to liken that to a physical health, okay, because I've also realized there's a bit of confusion whenever we talk about mental health. Suddenly you find people, you know, just taking a step back because it seems as if it's not a right word. Mm-hmm. But we all do have a mental health. So when we talk about physical health, we're looking at, you know, we're all very familiar with physical health, mm-hmm, isn't it? Now, just as your physical health can be impacted, where you can have malaria or diabetes or something else, it's the same thing. So our mental health can also be impacted by certain situations, you know, that could happen. And so when we talk of how you think, how you feel, how you act, your ability to manage or deal with stress and also be useful in your environment, that is what mental health is all about. And for children, definitely there are certain things you should be looking out for, just as you would, you know, for adults. And so I have a mental health. You also do have a mental health. And it is different for mental disorders. So that's a different conversation, which what I'm sure we'll get into eventually. But we all do have a mental health.
So mental health, yeah, is different from mental disorders.
Absolutely.
Can you know,
break it down a bit more?
Yes.
So just like, so back to the physical health and then also having you know, a physical condition. So let's say that you have, you know, our well-being involves physical health and mental health.
Okay.
You're looking at social and psycho, you know, situations as well. All of that would have to do with one's well-being. So one aspect, your physical health, where you're fine, you're able to manage and go about, you know, your duties, do whatever it is you have to do. But it can be impacted. Mm. So let's say that you're, you know, very healthy and then you suddenly have maybe some cholesterol issues or maybe have diabetes. It means that you have, your physical health has been impacted.
Exactly.
Now, for the mental aspect as well, there's certain stresses in the environment that can impact. There are situations, for instance, let's say that you have an individual who has maybe some challenges or, you know, they're able to deal with their stresses in the environment. It can impact them mentally over time. So not being mentally resilient, for example, can impact an individual's mental health. So that's one of the major differences you would find. So physical health and then mental health. But it can be impacted and you can have a mental disorder. But it also doesn't mean that mental health is mental disorder.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Great. So let's look at the children before we get to the teenagers and the young adults.
Right.
I gave an instance that, and until recently, when, you know, some awareness has been created and there has been talk about mental health and how it's important for us all to keep our mental health in check and all that.
Yeah.
Everybody, especially in children, once they seem not to be picking up well or doing things the way you'd want to do, especially so when it comes to their academic work, we end up saying in our local parlance that wabum.
Yeah.
This child, you know, is blockhead. He doesn't know anything. And sometimes, I remember back then, you would be beaten for not being able to pick up things. You're being compared to other children who are doing well. Your results from school are not too good. And you're punished, like punished for it, you know. And like I mentioned, in recent times, because of awareness, then we're all realizing that it could be something. And it's not that the child is being lazy for you to be beating the child, because usually you don't get results. I noticed that when you, when you treat children that way rather, they even go off the more, you know. So when it comes to children and mental health, how does it present? And how would you know that something is probably impacting the mental health of just this child, for which reason he or she is not able to do the basic things that you would expect a child their age to do. Again, I wouldn't want us to talk about, you know, the extremes.
Okay.
For now, the autism, Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, and all that.
Right.
Those ones are very evident in your face. Let's talk about, you know, this other one.
Okay. So maybe we could be looking at some very common conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And early on, I mentioned that one of the major differences between a physical health and mental health would have to do with how you think,
mm-hmm.
how you feel, how you behave, your ability to interact and also be productive in your society, your environment. These are major markers you should be looking out for. So in children, I think that right from the very beginning, mm-hmm. parents should be looking out for a number of things.
Okay.
Now, a number of things can also go wrong that we don't have control over. So the genetics is one. Because certain things can be passed on, and these are called risk factors.
Ooh.
Then you can also be looking at the environmental aspects. So we talk about nature and nurture. In between that as well, you could be looking at some perinatal factors. You could be looking at postnatal as well, and prenatal. So before, within, just before you have the child, and then also after. A lot of things can happen. Some asphyxiation going on with a child when you're able to breathe. It actually can impact their brain. Some illnesses during the very early years. All of these things can impact the child. Parents should be looking out also for milestones. Now, a lot of what you're talking about, if you realize, usually would be highlighted when a child starts school. So we call them neurodevelopmental disorders.
Okay.
So they start, but you might not see them.
Hmm.
But I think a lot of indicators would include the milestones, when they are walking and crawling and speech. Are there any delays, for example? Their processing of information, their communication. These are all things that are very important that you should be looking out for as a parent. And I always say that if you're always in doubt, seek or speak with a professional. Sometimes parents are not aware. Usually it's the teachers that would observe. A lot of, unless the parent is present. But if you don't have present parents are very busy going up and down, the assumption would be that my child is not learning, they're too lazy. You know, these are some of the comments or the feedback that is usually given. But there might be other things going on. So when usually the children start at the school going years, that is when teachers are able to know that. When you compare them to their peers, you're trying to look at the typical experiences, there are differences. Maybe they're slow, they're not doing well, they don't like writing, they seem to probably have examples, some mirror writing in terms of, you know, then all these would communicate to the parent or to the teacher that definitely we should take a look at what is going on with our child and not make assumptions.
Okay, so you've also talked about the fact that when you notice these things, you should seek, when you're in doubt, you should, you know,
seek counsel.
Seek, consult and ask for help and all that. So, now, typically, right, do you think that parents would take their children to the doctor and go say that, my child is not doing well in school, could that be a problem? Is it a practice?
So, I think that...
So otherwise, what do we do?
Okay, so present parents are the ones who look for information. They're constantly checking and making certain, you know, looking for information to be sure that things are going as they should in terms of the child's development. Now, there's a lot of information. During the early years, you're still going for your wellness checks, you know, so you get to see the first point of call will be the pediatrician. So you're going for your checks, you're going for your vaccinations and all that. So you might have made some observations and you can bring it up or raise it with your pediatrician. And then they'll be able to either say, let's make some further observations, look out for A, B, and C, or if there's a need, or probably after some observations, there's still some consistency of what has been seen in terms of your concerns, then they can raise it up and say, why not speak with a child psychologist as well or a neuropediatrician? Because I think that definitely it means you are making observations, you are looking out for, because you know what is at what time. Now, I'm a parent as well, and although a lot of things, I mean, we know, we still get to read, you still get to, you know, look for information, you would find that. Now, our parents as well, you know, the generation before us, they have a lot of knowledge. And so sometimes, even for them too, let's say your mom,
I remember, or I recall that even with all the so-called book knowledge, I used to ask my mom a lot of questions about my first child. Is this typical? Why is my child acting that way? Because it's not all textbook, but sometimes they've seen certain things that you haven't. And so as you get to, you know, speak with them, they would get to let you know whether or not this is something that is typical or atypical. This is something that is concerning or not. But like I mentioned, if you are always in doubt, it's always okay to still speak with a professional, just so you know that something can be done. Because the truth of the matter is, early interventions mm-hmm. always does something for prognosis. And so it's always important, rather than do the wait and see, you know, just wait and see, or give it some time and it's going to change. Always speak with a professional. So for parents, I think that this is what we should be doing. Ask questions. We don't ask questions. Oh. We don't like to ask questions. And I think that it's something that we should. And that's what the pediatricians are for. That is what the doctors are there for. That is what the child psychologist is there for. That is what the new pediatrician is there for. Always ask questions so you can get some answers.
Great. Doc, tell me, what's the worst that can happen if you don't pay attention to these things and then the child keeps growing through life?
Right. So I like to always, you know, talk and give some experiences. Usually for parents who tend to miss these, the other interesting part is that the teachers also get to raise that. So would ask questions, for instance, what tends to pop up, or what seems to be a common theme that is running through a child's terminal reports?
Mm.
Maybe difficulties focusing or paying attention, their communication, there's some delays. Even with their writing and their reading is a bit delayed. So, you know, there's some delay. You would find something. So even you as a parent, when you don't see anything, the teachers would tend to raise these in their, you know, when they give the reports. From time to time, I saw, look, the teacher is your friend. The teacher is not your enemy. Because I've also seen that sometimes some parents tend to find a lot of these concerns, observations that are raised by teachers as, why are you focusing on my child? You tend to want to look for something with my child. But we are all working, you know, for the well-being, you know, the totality of that child. And so it's very important that we listen, we pay attention, and we also start looking. Your teacher has, or maybe the teacher has raised a certain concern. Why not start looking at it yourself too? If you're spending time doing the homework with your child, you would pick on something, how they're reading. There are some difficulties. They're reading in a certain way. They're pronouncing words in a certain way. They can't seem to understand this. You've tried to help them over and over again, and there seems to be some delay in all of that. That should let you know that something definitely is going on. And so, you know, moving on to the other aspect as well.
Doug, before you move on to the other aspect, right?
Okay.
What you're saying is very true.
Okay.
Now I'm my mind is going back to when I was young, and then sometimes, so those things are not for nothing. When the teachers write, plays too much
observations
in class, does not do this. And sometimes that is the point of the meeting. Because they say you don't pay attention in class. You talk too much. You don't like writing.
Yes.
And that's the point of the meeting.
Yes.
But that's aside, you're also, we can also be very dismissive. Mm-hmm. Please don't forget the other point you want to make.
Right.
We can also be dismissive. You may have noticed these things. You may have paid attention to them and realized that, oh, this is not going well. You will have another person, maybe even your spouse or somebody who is living with you, tell you that, oh, they say all children are different. Leave them alone. They will pick up as they grow. And then there's somebody who is dismissive about what you are probably picking up and thinking about. Then what do you do? Because they will tell you that children are different and no two kids are the same, so they will grow on their own, they will pick up their own pace, and that's supposed to make you feel better.
That's very true. And you know, just so moving on from there, what happens eventually is now the child is not writing or does not like writing because they struggle with writing. They struggle with maybe some motor difficulties, fine or gross motor skills. Maybe they're also having difficulties with reading. So they can't read, they can't spell, so I will not write. Because if I write, it shows my weakness. Now, as a child, putting yourself in that child's shoes, they don't understand what's going on, but they see the difficulties. Mm. But they can't, there are no words to describe what they're difficult. So it's more internalized. So over time, you realize they're engaging in avoidance behavior. The one who is hyper and full of energy and sometimes will leave their class and go to other classes constantly talking, that also gets to impact performance, but that child sounds brilliant when you're engaging with them. All these things are there. And so some teachers will write, oh, this guy has potential. they have to try harder. They have to do, I see a lot of that.
Yes.
And all these things should let you know that, no, I should question what exactly is going on. If that was not the situation and there's been a change, so we're looking at consistency. So once you find that there's a change, you should also question what has changed this past couple of weeks or past couple of months or maybe a couple of years. Something could have triggered that. But if it's been very consistent as well, that should let you know that something is going on. So over time, it leads to, and your children from the beginning are not that self-aware, but as they get older, they become self-aware. And then we have peers, they're making comparisons, they're teasing, they're making fun of them, whether intentionally or unintentionally. And then they start developing low self-esteem, anxiety, depression. You know, these are very common conditions you would find in children. So you're talking about all the other complex ones, but we're also looking at the very common conditions, anxiety, which leads to depression. And so when there's anything we want to keep to ourselves, we don't want to interact in class, constantly sleeping, not engaging with others, they don't want to do anything, and then they're home. A lot of the time, the children are very cranky, they don't want to go to school, they are somatizing. So they make a lot of excuses. My tummy hurts, I have a headache. They don't want to go to, they want to avoid the situation, because that is where the challenges become evident. And so you have teenagers at that point in time who have either learned not to even engage and have already drawn, you know, some conclusions. I am not good, I am not smart. And I have children as young as 6 years, 5 years sometimes. Parents have observed me, the schools have referred for an assessment, and then the child as early as four, and this is just a very recent experience, the child said, I'm not smart.
Oh, my heart is so broken.
Yeah.
Like, everything that concerns children just puts me in a certain mood. You know, because I've just realized that so many mistakes have been made. And indeed, for lack of knowledge, my children perish. Because we don't know, we tend to make all forms of assumptions. And then you end up breaking a child up.
This is what I experience almost every day.
No, it's painful. Really? Wow. So, I mean, and you've been saying something from when we started the conversation, a parent who is present. If you are not present, then you will obviously not pick these things up. You will make wrong assumptions. People will be dismissive, and then it will go on and on and on. At some point, when the child becomes a teenager or something, you end up saying that, as for you, you are useless, you are a waste, you are this. And so they say, go and learn a trade. And sometimes you push them into learning a trade and they don't come out well either. So you are good for nothing. There was a problem from the onset that you, the parents, didn't pick up and you didn't help solve. And that's what has turned the child into that. And eventually, I can imagine that this child will become very frustrated in life. And then that's where the mental disorders could come in, right?
Yes, yeah. Even starts earlier, even before then.
Wow. So this is work for parents and teachers, right?
Yes, and teachers, yes.
But you've mentioned that the teachers are doing better when it comes to this than parents.
Well, I would say they're doing better. Before, they get to have my head. But
don't have your head.
But I think that, you know, because a lot of these things, especially it becomes more apparent when, like during the school going years, that is when teachers get to see a lot of that. And so they would raise the concerns or probably would share that in the reports. And sometimes would have certain conversations with some parents, depending on how you are. Because sometimes some parents don't take it very well. They would either trivialize the matter or probably think that you're just trying to pick something or look for something,
my child,
and all that as well. And so sometimes when it's flagged, it's not an easy, the honest bit is, you also would have to put yourself in the shoes of the parent as well. Sometimes they know, but it's hard
to
admit. Yes. Sometimes they have actually been through themselves. You know, some of the things we remember I mentioned, they've been passed on. So the parent will say, oh, but I was also like that. But I was able to make it. But I tell them, what did you go through? Before it's like, oh, yeah, it's true. It's like, I really struggled. I really suffered, you know, going through. But I've been able to make it, and so my child can. But there are also differences. Your presentation will not be the same thing as, you know, the experience in your child. And there's also a difference in this generation. It's not like what it was a couple of years ago. That time where do as I say, and, you know, now children are also questioning. They want to understand. They want, you know, their mindset is also a little more more different. So the complexities with parenting, I mean, all these things come in as well. And so for a parent, it's a full-time job. Once you become a parent, you have to take on that role and be completely responsible. Teachers are also parents, because they're also parenting your child. So they are the secondary parents. But the first line is the primary person, and that is, you know, the parent themselves.
Ha! Parenting.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
But yes, if you would want your child to turn out as you imagine, then you will have to be there. It's not enough to run around, bring the money, pay the school fees, provide for them, and then you leave them in the care of somebody whose responsibility they think is just to make sure that they've eaten and they are not hurt.
Yeah, you have to put in the work.
Yes, you have to put in the work, especially so when it comes to their mental health. You have to put in the work, be very observant, you know, and work with the teachers, as you're saying. No matter how difficult it is, well, maybe teachers, Akujo will tell us a bit.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
About that, you may have to also learn how to communicate these things properly, you know, so that indirectly you are not telling the parents, you are not, for lack of a better word, insulting the intelligence of the parent and that of the child. It's a concern you have, so there must be a way you communicate it to work with the parents, so that we end up having this holistic adults that we all will admire tomorrow. So it's important that, you know, we do the work. Some of us have been pretty fussy about some of these things right from childhood. I mean, I remember when I was pregnant with my last child, was it him or the first one? I think the first one. At some point, I had to go to the hospital and ask the doctor that, do you think that this baby is growing well in my stomach? Because I felt like at about 5-6 months, I was expecting my tummy to look some way. And it was still pretty small. I was worried. And then he went like, look, your baby is fine. They take you through the scan and then explain things to you. Okay, when I had the last one, 5 months, my child is too big. I take the child to the hospital. I'm like, are you sure he's okay? Because I think for a 5-month-old baby, he's too big. They're like, oh, he's okay. And then, you know, and at every point in time, you're asking questions. And I remember when I was running the crèche until good old COVID. You'd have a lot of children with sudden issues. You'd have conversations with the parents. And sometimes, you know, out of frustration, that is how they behave, you know. But you would like to have conversations upon and sometimes, as for when you refer them there, they don't want to hear it. But now the child will be fine. And then you know that you have a lot of work, you know, to do. So it's important that we're paying attention to all of these things. I mentioned that we will focus a lot on the teenagers as well today. And yes, for Doc, is there anything you'd want parents to know, again, when it comes to the very young ones that we are talking about, before we switch to the teenagers and the young adults?
Okay. There's something you said, I just want to write on that a little bit. So when you have these concerns and you raise them, and the teacher is even telling, or the parent is telling you, oh, that's how my child is, consistency. So consistency will mean that something then is definitely going on, you should be questioning. But if a child is, for instance, calm and quiet at home, or maybe in school, and they're different when they're home, that should also let you know that maybe it's the environment that is maybe making the child that way. So that one, we are not necessarily worried so much. But when there's consistent, the child is like, you know, full of energy, constantly moving up and down, not sitting still. There's a difficulty. I see if they have a motor in them, like, you know, moving up and down and moving from one class to the other. But they're very intelligent. Sometimes they're talking, but they're still listening, you know, but there's still some difference because it tends to impact their academic performance. And they're doing the same thing at home. It's like the child can't have constantly fidgeting, and, you know, they have very interesting ways of, you know, just acting. And you mentioned that you should you know, be concerned. And I'm going to give an example with my last child. So when when it came to, I was looking out for indicators when it comes to speech, because we have, you know, time frames for certain things. So the babbling started and all that. And I realized the speech wasn't that clear.
Mm.
So I started doing all the things I needed to do in terms of providing some support. And I remember what I did was I actually spoke or shared my concerns with the school. Then he had started school. And I told them, this is what I've seen. I want to actually see the number of words he has and what he does in school as well. So they started keeping a log just so that it could inform me as a parent of what was happening in school and then at home. And also that would help to determine whether or not we're making progress. At a point, I was actually also deliberating, should I at least get my child to see a speech therapist? You know, we had some conversations with, you know, some colleagues as well, just to find out whether or not. So even for me, I had to do what I needed to do, being present, being very engaging, you know, having conversations and trying to, you know, encourage him with the words and all of that too. So that is the work that you need to do. And then also speaking with the professionals, you know, in there, and then also engaging with the teachers. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I wouldn't say because I'm a child psychologist, I don't have to do that, or maybe have to just keep it, you know, in the family or try to, you know, wrap it up. No, that not at all. So working with the teachers is very important. It can be very helpful in terms of giving the information that you need.
Right. Sometimes, makes you seem like somebody who is very paranoid, but it's important. You're hearing things.
Yeah.
You're reading things. Yeah. You're learning things. And so you would always want to, you know, I mean, some of us have been very... very crazy about these things, because you will feel so bad that you missed it.
Yes.
If it was such that you picked it up early and the child could be helped.
Gotten some interventions,
you
know, yes.
You will feel very bad. Something that this child could have been helped with, you, the parents, missed it. Somebody probably prompted you and you still were very dismissive about it.
Yeah.
And then they grew up with it, and then now you feel like,
I should have.
Was it this thing that this person mentioned? That's what we shouldn't do with our children.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, please, it's important that we are paying attention to every little detail. You get back from work, you're tired, we know. Challenge, the traffic, everything.
Yeah.
But spending few minutes asking them how they did in school, and sometimes, Doc, you talked about a child saying, I am not smart. Sometimes it's what somebody has told them.
Absolutely. They are like sponges, so they are constantly absorbing.
Yeah. Somebody has said it to them that you're not, even sometimes the teachers, you know, you're not smart. Why are you so slow? Why are you this?
All and in the case.
The child begins to imbibe it.
Yeah.
And then they begin to live it.
Live it.
And you, the parents, you don't know. So you are not helping even affirm the child.
Yes.
And then at the back of their minds, I am too slow. I am not smart. I am not good enough.
Yeah.
And then they begin to withdraw. And so this conversation we're having, it's really, 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 really very, very critical that we pay attention and pick up these things early and then ask for help. Okay, do you have any points? Okay, so we've been joined by Pakuju, ex-producer, Home Affairs. Mr. Emmanuel Pakuju Apple. Good to see you again.
Great.
How many years has it been?
1,000 years.
Oh, dear.
I have a bone to pick with you.
We miss you. That one is off air. But you're really looking good, though.
Oh. Grace.
Daniela,
Grace.
Please note, one of these days we'll have a conversation with Pakuju, and it will be about, you know,
maybe,
keeping your swag on. Like, you know, that would just be the topic. For 1.5 hours.
I'm blushing.
Keeping your swag on.
It's great, so it's great.
Good to have you.
Good to have you too.
I mean, Doc Pakuju is a teacher. Teacher with swag.
Yeah.
You know, the teachers who wear suit and tie to classroom, right?
Okay.
I mean, wear quality Italian shoes and go to the classroom with it. Yes, that's the kind
of
teacher.
And my students are listening.
Yeah. I'm saying this so that employers will increase your salary for you.
But thank you.
He loves teaching. And whenever we're having conversations about children and we need a parent, he's a parent himself and a teacher, he comes on board. He brings us students to have conversations with us. So we hold him very dear. Okay, any comments you want to make on this before we switch to the teenagers?
Good morning to our cherished listeners and then my dear Dr. Hare. Good morning to you. Let me say thank you for this opportunity. It's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
I I've been chewing on the words from our revered doctor here, and something just happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. And it's actually directly related to this.
Wow.
Well, but I guess what I want to say is that as a country, I've always underestimated the importance of mental health, mm-hmm. to the point that it's now eating us, mm-hmm. really. Yeah, so when Daniela sent me the information, I just announced, and I had over 17 students.
Oh dear.
I told her. I said, Daniela, now you've given me a problem. Now, how do I even do this? Mm. They want outlets. They want to talk. Because parents are not listening. The vicissitudes of life. Actually, I love you. Mommy is going to work. Daddy is going to work. Mm. Both of us come. Something must give. Something must give, Adam. Either, and that is why it's okay to sometimes choose a profession that will allow you some space to do the work. Because you just cannot pretend these things are not there.
And we all cannot be running around in circles like
that. You know, this was 3 years ago. There's a student I was teaching privately. A teenager. Look, engaging this boy, 10 over 10. It's literature. You know how literature is conversational and abstract. Mm-hmm. We tell you everything. Exams, flat.
Oh.
And it happened for 2 terms, and I thought that no. So I spoke to his school teachers, and all I got in the report was, he has not been consistent. He is this. He doesn't spell well. He doesn't do that. I said, okay. So what have you seen? What are you seeing in the classroom? All I have is, could do better. Has not done this. So I had to just sit down and say, I had a conversation with the boy. And the boy is deep. So I called the parent and said, you know what? I want you to do this. Please don't take it as me labeling your child. Can you just go and see a professional and just give you a result? Well, the mother was not happy at all. Honestly, he wasn't happy. She wasn't happy. The husband came in and said, oh, Safo, this thing that you're asking us to do, you're scaring us. I said, just go to a professional counselor and then just tell them they should call me. Mm. We had a conversation. The boy had dyslexia.
Oh.
And this is an AS level child.
17
years.
All
1 year
way
to university. Look at all the time. Missed. From class one. Nobody noticed it until when he was 17. Sometimes it comes too late. And you know that the medicine, timing is crucial. There was very little we could do for this boy.
Wow.
And so what happens is that the boy now turns his back against the whole school. So I guess what I would say, I mean, everything has been said. Hmm. I don't think there's any quality thing to add, except to say that as teachers, we must be aware of these things. But do you even blame the teachers? The entire country has not taken this subject seriously. Because if we have, you would find that in every school there will be a professional counselor. The teacher's understanding is that just dole out notes on English, literature, math, and go away. Forgetting that even just by looking at the faces of these children, you could tell how the student is feeling. And they will tell you, when I'm teaching, I tell them, I love attention. And the attention that I love is not because I think I'm handsome. I just want to read you and see. So you're not looking at me and I'm like, are you okay? Just last week, I'm sorry, I don't know whether it's too early, but I just told the parent that the child has just started menstruation.
The parent didn't know?
No.
Okay. Now it's getting...
Now this girl is so close to me.
Wow.
And I know how she is. I know how she reacts in class. She was moody, quiet. I walked to her and said, look, are we okay? Staffo, I'll come and see you in your office. Mm. And that's how the conversation started.
Wow.
Not because the parents were not interested, but where are they?
Mm. Is it that bad?
Adam, you need to understand that. Look, days when we used physical correction to correct mental issues are gone.
Oh, yes.
Mental.
No, it is ignorance.
You know, so I am saying that, look, let's take it a little more seriously.
Yeah.
I don't think, look, when you go to the University of Education, there's a whole department called counseling, guidance and counseling. Every university has one. Why are we not churning out teachers who will be posted to these schools to play this role? It's a critical role.
It is.
You know.
It is. And so we will continue to talk.
We need to hear them. That's why I don't take this as a joke at all. And you hear that, you tell, they will tell you a lot.
Yeah, I'll be turning to them very soon. You know, Doc and I shared some documents I found on the WHO website. Says that globally, 1 in 7 10 to 19 year olds experience a mental disorder, accounting for 13% of the global burden of diseases in this age group.
Look at that.
That's alarming. You haven't heard much. Depression, anxiety, and behavioral disorders are among the leading causes of illness and disability among adolescents. Mm. Suicide is the fourth leading cause of death among 15 to 29 year olds. And the consequences of failing to address adolescent mental health conditions extend to adulthood, impairing both physical and mental health and limiting opportunities to lead fulfilling lives as adults. And that's exactly what we have been talking about. Yeah. I'll be turning to, you know, our teenagers who have joined us on Zoom to find out in their world what impacts their mental health. And again, it's important that we are listening. Mr. Afo, was it 2 years ago I made you speak to my daughter, right?
Yes.
I mean, she was about writing exams, and you can tell that she's a brilliant student, but she's, you know, agitated. What if? Okay. Jamil, relax, just put in your best, you'll be fine. But you realize that
there's
constantly
a void.
Every time I come back from work, the what ifs are there. There was a day she totally broke down, like in tears. Mm. What is wrong with you? She feels there's so much pressure on her.
Yeah.
Even from school. And what's the pressure? Expectations.
Yeah.
Like, you're good, so we're expecting so much from you. We're counting on you, and you have teachers. And I'm like, but they're just believing in you. She says, so it makes me feel like
I have to.
Like, you know, I didn't realize it was such an issue.
Yeah.
So, I asked Mr. Affle to assess her for me to see if, I mean, maybe there are some challenges I haven't picked when it comes to, he assessed her and said, like, look, when it comes to academic work, there's nothing wrong with your child. She's very good. So I had to arrange for her to speak to a doctor. And after that conversation, I realized that she became very calm. And she said she didn't want me to be there. And the doctor insisted that it should just be the two of them. Later, she told me the things she was told. And look, that just became something else for her. This year, two of them are writing. Again, to the twins. And the same what if, the same, and you see the anxiety, we won't sleep, we are learning. And I'm like, hey, you people, don't break down before the exams. Then at some point, it became, I felt like I needed to pay attention. So I had to arrange for Dr. Adolf Iwukubekwe to meet them. It was supposed to be a quick chat. It ended up being 2 hours of conversation on Zoom because they had so many questions. Yeah. And I am like, God, we're missing so much, because I was on the call with them, you know. And there was one amongst them who doesn't talk much. I was shocked at the questions. When I was like, okay, so who will go first? I was surprised she was the first person to say that, mommy, me. And then they started engaging. And oh, Doc, God bless you. He was so patient. It took over 2 hours, and they were on and they were on, and until I noticed that everybody became calm. Mm. And then I think they picked up some key things he told them. And then, you know, that made, and so it is important that when our children are coming to us and saying things to us, we don't just brush them aside. Who do I have on Zoom? I have Ifua here. Who else do I have? I have Mitchell. And then
Indrani.
Okay. Hello. Good morning. How are you doing, Ifua, Mitchell, and Indrani?
Good morning.
Well, thank you. Great. Okay, so we're talking about mental health, and I'm sure you have been listening, right?
Of course.
Yeah, very close.
I like that response. So I'm going to ask a very simple question. You and your peers, everybody, I mean, most parents would think that, or most people would think that at your age, you don't have any issues, really. You are not buying food on your own. We're providing for you. We're paying your fees. Everything you need. And we are the people who are going and coming and making sure that you are okay. So what really should be your problem? You people shouldn't have problems. But we're learning that amongst your age group, for instance, suicide is the fourth leading cause of death. What is impacting your mental health? What do you people think about? What makes you sad? What makes you want to vent? What is really what bothers your age group? Would like to hear from you yourself. So who will go first?
I'd like to go first.
Okay, great. And this is Michelle Ifua. Okay.
Okay. My perspective, I think one of the main things impacting teens' mental health is social media. I mean, we live in the age where every teen has access to a device, can easily go on Instagram or Snapchat or TikTok and see unrealistic figures or facades of people. And then I think over time, especially for girls, we start to like compare ourselves and talk about, I wish I looked like this, I wish I spoke like this, I wish I was this social or bubbly, or I could interact like this. And I think comparison is truly the thief of joy, because we start to feel like
the future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Not good enough. And I think another thing that really impacts mental health is academics. Because, I mean, it's very understandable for parents to want their children to do well in school, to get the grade, to get into a good university. But we live in an incredibly competitive age. So when your parent tells you, we want 9 A stars this term, or we want 9 A stars in your IQ, or we want aggregate 6 in your BC, it could really put pressure on you to go above and beyond just to get these grades. And then it could impact your sleep, your mental health, your self-worth. I mean, for me personally, there was a point in my life where I thought that the only thing I had going for me was my grade. So if I didn't make this grade this term, I wasn't doing enough, and I would beat myself down. And it took me some time to understand that I wasn't limited to just that, and that there were other facets of me that had worth and that I should hold in high esteem. So I think, in my perspective, social media and academics are the two main things that kind of really impact teen mental health. Yeah.
Wow. Social media. I didn't think it was going to top the chat for you, but I am actually very, very, very informed this morning. And academics. Academics not because you don't want to do well, but because of the pressure it comes with. Parents are demanding, from what she's saying, demanding like stars upon stars. And let me find out from you again. When it comes to the academic work, do you think that parents are available and are being very supportive and providing all the needed help for the demands that we are making on you people?
I can only speak for my experience and for those close to me. Luckily, I have parents that are always very supportive. If my dad sees me staying up too late to learn, he told me it's not healthy. He asked me to go to bed. There was a time that I was insisting and forcing him that he should buy me coffee and he should buy me all these things so I would like be able to stay up the whole night. And then he would tell me no, and he would place his foot down. And on the other hand, my mother would always ask me, are you struggling in school? Do you need support? Would you like me to get you help? Is any subject difficult this term for you? So I think just having open channels of communication is really good, so they feel comfortable telling you what's wrong. Yeah.
But do you have friends who don't have the support, who talk to you? I mean, when you have conversations, do you probably see that there are friends who don't have this sort of support?
I think most of my friends, they have parents who support them. I have friends who, although they have parents who support them and they offer help, they offer classes, whatever tutelage they need, they also feel that they can't admit that, oh, I'm struggling with this, because I'd be letting them down after all the school fees or after all the stress. So they feel like they are currently writing IGCSE, and some of my friends are really worried. I mean, they are, I wouldn't want to say they're near breaking down, but they're really stressed about, I have to make all A's, I can't make a B. Even though their parents are supporting them, they still feel this pressure to make them proud and live up to expectations. Yeah.
This is very revealing. Mitchell, are you there?
Yes, please.
Okay. Could you share your experiences with us as well?
Well, in my perspective, what I think is that different students have different coping mechanisms, right? So the way one student may learn is different from the way another student may learn. If you are going to push one student, the student may get to a certain point and they break. And another student, you may push them and they'll end up being the best version of themselves. I think it's really important as educators to realize what limits your students can go to. Because some students just need that little extra push, that motivation from their teachers to become a better version of themselves. While others are already going through a lot. And if you come and put the burden on them that they have to be this perfect member of, they have to be this perfect ambassador of academic excellence, I think that really messes with their mind and they are not able to produce the grades that you think they are going to come out with. Speaking on mental health in students, one big problem that
not just
my
necessarily in students, but we're looking at teenagers in general. And I mean, I wouldn't also want us to just limit it to academics. You have friends. I'm not sure when you gather, it's only academics you talk about, right? So let's broaden it.
Yeah. All right. I think the issue of comparisons, as Ifwa said, is detrimental to the health of any teenager. And comparisons in recent times have become more and more, they've just gotten worse as time has gone on. Now it's gotten to the point where your parents will take you and your older sibling or you and your younger sibling and be comparing you. Look at what your sibling is doing. Why can't you do the same? Or they may compare you to their friend's child. Look at what my friend's child is doing, and you can't produce the same results in school. And when you are told that, you begin to feel like you are incapable. You become to feel like you are shortlisted. You can't do much because they've put this bubble around you that if you are not like your older brother or if you are not like this girl in another school, then you are not a good person. And as teenagers, we have to learn to internalize small failures. Now, I'm not trying to say that failures are going to be there all the time or that we should normalize failing. But I think the pressure on teenagers to be successful is getting absurd. You go to a function and people want you to have the neatest hairstyle. You have to be dressed in the best clothes, the most expensive shoes. And you feel like, if I'm not like this, if I'm not looking like what all the other teenagers are looking like, then there's a problem with me as a person. I think that we should get rid of that stigma, whether it is our parents, whether it is through counseling. We need to get rid of that stigma, because the plethora of problems that teenagers face this day, it could really lead someone to do the unthinkable. We don't want to talk about suicide or children doing things to themselves or to others because of what they themselves are feeling. I think bullying, low self-esteem, pressure from parents, teachers, society, all that affects a teenager in today's society.
Mitchell, thank you very, very much. And the bit about comparison, again, I will talk about the fact that all of it is ignorance.
Yeah.
All of it is ignorance. Like, I have a set of twins, and they're the same class. And when you go for parents' evening, so I used to go with them together to sit in front of the teachers and have conversations. And you see the teachers almost comparing the two of them. Mm. And this one is like this, this one is like that, this one is like this. So I made a decision, because I know who my children are. So I made a decision that in as much as they are twins and they are in the same class, they're different.
Yeah.
So I am not going to be sitting in front of the teachers with them together, one after the other. But before then, I will go to the teacher and tell them that if I have come to talk about, I call them Biggie and Smalls, I've come to talk about Biggie, I want to have conversations about Biggie. When Biggie is sitting with me, don't tell me that Biggie does A, B, C, D, and Smalls or this person doesn't. Just focus on this child as though she is one individual, and don't compare her with her twin, because then it tends to affect them, and you don't know. And the teachers didn't realize that. No, before, I mean, they did. They didn't realize that it was an issue, you know. We're sitting together, and you are telling my mother that this person is better than me in this, so I can do this or I can do that. And I had to, I mean, God knows how many subjects they do for the IGs. I had to go around all the teachers and explain to every one of them. So I don't go for parents' evening and want to have conversations with both of them again. And Doc, you rightly said it. You will have to be very observant. You have to be present. You will have to, not just physically present, but yes, even mentally, you the parent, you have to be present to, yes, be able to pick up some of these things that would worry the child.
Yeah.
Look at what this child is saying. You're comparing us to our friends' children.
Yes.
And for you the parent, you think you are just talking.
Mm.
But this is how it is impacting their mental health.
Mm.
These issues are inexhaustive, you know.
Yeah.
Let me talk to Indrani,
yeah,
and then I will come to Doc and PK in the studio. Hi, Indrani.
So, thank you for having me here.
Yeah, thank you for being here. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're looking at the things that impact your generation mentally.
Yes. So one thing that I want to talk about is the pressure of fitting in with your peer group. Mm. You know, the pressure to fit in, the pressure to keep up with the latest trends, the pressure to be quote unquote cool, or the pressure to look perfect at every point in life. It's overwhelming. That's what it is. And then to fit in, you engage yourself in activities that your peers do. And there are two parts to this. One of them in which you do engage yourself in these activities. And usually these activities are not good things. They're either engaging in bad relationships or substance abuse or stealing or, you know, bad stuff like this. And you engage yourself in those activities. And then there's guilt that's eating you up from the inside. You start feeling like, what if I get caught? What if, what will happen now? What if this was not right? What if I shouldn't have done this? And when you don't do these kind of stuff again, then you're no longer part of your peer group. They look down upon you. You start feeling like you're not enough. You become withdrawn because they're not paying attention to you. And so you isolate yourself and you become depressed. And personally, I've experienced this before. There have been several times where I wouldn't engage in certain activities that my friends would engage in. And then later on, I'll find out that they've been back talking about me. They've been saying that I'm very boring and that I can't keep up with the latest trends and everything. And then there's the issue of bullying. You see, when you hear the word bullying, the first thing that probably comes to everyone's mind is the physical bullying with all the punches and kicks and everything, you know, the ones that you see in movies and everything. Mm-hmm. But in my social circle, in my surroundings, what happens is not that kind of bullying. It's rather the little things that they do to you every day. Mm-hmm. They'll be spreading rumors about you. They'll talk about you online, cyberbullying and this and that.
Yeah.
And then when you find about all of this, you start feeling like, where did I go wrong? was this my fault? Was this their fault? Was it because I didn't do stuff that they did? And so that's one issue that really affects teenagers of our age.
Wow. It was really good that we had them on the call.
Yeah.
Because then they give you what is really in their circles, yeah, so that we don't go imagining. sometimes when it gets to this point, then I'm not sure what I even want to do, or, you know, because as a parent, you may be thinking that you know it all, but no, you don't. And this is really, 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 really very helpful. My daughter is 9 years. And I realized that she has difficulty paying attention in class. She's always distracted in class, but she likes drawing a lot. When you ask her to do something, it is as if she has difficulty processing it. And when I raised this with the pediatrician, he said she was going to stop with time. We get some of these also a lot. Yes, sometimes they say that we parents, we are too known and we worry too much. Mm. But it's because, you know, yeah. I will be getting back to us here in the studio to find out, Doc, so who is responsible for all of these things and how do we deal with them? And then, right, you know, Park Ojo as well.
Okay. No.
Doc, just a moment. I will come to you very shortly. And the joy of every parent is to see their children grow healthy and become more intelligent and physically fit. To achieve this desire, every parent needs to ensure that their children are given nutritious foods that has the essential nutrients which can promote their well-being. One of the best of such nutritious foods is Vitamilk soy milk drink. Vitamilk is made from whole grain soybeans, which is a good source of plant protein, and it is enriched with omega 3, 6, and 9. It also has calcium and the essential nutrients and multivitamins recommended for healthy living. Vitamilk has no artificial coloring, no artificial flavorings, and no preservatives. Choose the Vitamilk Champ for your children because the protein, calcium, and omega 3, 6, and 9 in Vitamilk Champ has proven to help your adorable children grow smarter, healthier, and strong every day. Vitamilk also comes in its regular soy milk drink. You can have the Vitamilk Energy, the energy booster with no caffeine. It comes in the choco flavor, the banana, and the strawberry. Pick it up in the 250 ml and the 1 liter Tetra Pak. Vitamilk is indeed a nutritious beverage that feels good anywhere, anytime. And Pentecost Hour is a religious broadcast program sponsored by the Church of Pentecost, and it comes your way with the chairman of the Church of Pentecost, Apostle Eric Nyamiche. On Joy FM Sundays at 1:30 p.m., Hits FM Mondays at 5:30 a.m., and on Joy Prime Television on Saturdays at 7 a.m. Tune in every Sunday morning, Saturday, and Monday as Apostle Nyamiche brings you life transforming truth that nourishes the soul, ignites passion, and restores hope in the nations. The Church of Pentecost, where you're possessing the nations for the Lord. Go on and discover the rich, creamy taste of Dano milk that perfectly complements your breakfast to deliver that delightful flavor you've always craved. Dano milk is fortified with vitamin A and D and is also a source of protein, calcium, vitamin B and 12, potassium, phosphorus, and all of this will keep you nourished every day. Get your quality Dano Milk Cool Cow instant powdered milk for an unparalleled taste experience and for your nourishment. Dano Milk, go for it. And remember always that this advert is FDA approved. All right, Doc, to you now.
Right. So just listening to, you know, our young ones and the experiences in school and, you know, generally in terms of like life, I want to touch on a few things. Mm. So one has to do with identification. The reason why we have an increase or there's a rise in suicide, anxiety and depression is because, you know, they're at a phase where they're trying to understand who they are as they try to navigate, you know, experiences as well when it comes to adulthood, because they're getting into that phase as well. So they're transitioning from being children into adulthood. And so this is what we're trying to understand ourselves. And by that time, it means that you as a parent, you're kind of done with some of the work.
they're more interested in their friends and the opinions of their friends at that time. So if you as a parent, that foundation has not been laid, it makes it very difficult. They're trying to understand their role and how they, you know, what they do with themselves and then their place in life. So we're trying to find ourselves. And because of the differences, now that's one thing I actually forgot to mention, we're different. Parents need to understand that, teachers need to understand that. And so the comparisons would have to stop. It also does not mean that everybody's going to have strengths in everything. We all have strengths in certain areas, and we have areas that we can develop. I don't call them weaknesses, but I call them areas we can develop. So that would mean that even then, when it comes to our learning, there are going to be differences as well. So we're going to have students who might have difficulties and would have dyscalculia, would have difficulties and would have maybe a learning disability, might have difficulties, might have challenges with adaptive functioning, as a result, some challenges with cognition, and that would lead to maybe intellectual disability. And that is still okay. We can still find and carve a niche for each individual. So I'm talking about, you know, a very neurodiverse world, and that's where we're at. Parents need to understand that and accept that. Sometimes we know, but we don't want to accept. So that is where the challenge would be. But once we accept that, then it means that we can do what we can to support our children wherever they are and make them, you know, comfortable there. Now, there's something as well that everybody would have to also understand, that as parents, we have a role to play when it comes to building the mental resilience of our children, because you cannot in any ways try to control the situation everywhere. When your child is thrown into a school, they are thrown into an environment where there are other children coming from other homes with all sorts of upbringing. So if you don't build them in a way that where they're built to have confidence in myself and my abilities, confidence in how I look, that is where it becomes difficult. When I meet or hear something, I become troubled. Yes, it can be a bit difficult trying to understand certain things at certain points in time, but that foundation, if it's been laid, would mean that you still have ongoing conversations with the children. They know I can easily come back to my...
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Parents and have conversations about what's going on presently. So mental resilience is very important as we're trying to support our children. And I noted a few things, so just touching on, you know, a lot of them. The social media aspect, that's not going to change. Technology, it's important. But I should be comfortable looking at it and going, oh, well, I mean, that's them, but this is also me. And I'm also okay with where I am. That is very important. So finding oneself, helping or guiding our children find themselves is really important. And that can impact peer pressure, because if I have confidence in myself, I'm not going to be pressured to do something I don't want to do. So they can say whatever, that I'm not the coolest person, but maybe I'm cool when it comes to A, B, and C, and I should be okay with that. You know, so there is that aspect too. Now, I mentioned here that open communication with parents starts with a good relationship foundation. So if you don't have that, it becomes very difficult. It's almost awkward. I mean, some teenager would actually walk up to a teacher and say, I can't have this conversation with my parent. Yeah. Because we don't have that True. Kind of relationship.
True.
So if that is also not worked on, that becomes something else. So mental resilience, understanding that there are differences, and we also need to understand that there are going to be differences, whether it's twins, whether it's siblings, or maybe myself and my friends, you know, children. We have to stop the comparisons. Sometimes parents should also be real with themselves. When you were young yourself, what were your experiences? How did you feel when your parents did this to you? If we can put ourselves in those shoes and recall the experiences, then it means we have to do better as parents. Now, it doesn't mean that we're trying to lay all the blame on parents. We understand that sometimes we don't know. And so this is the opportunity for all of us to keep on learning and being better as parents. Yeah.
That will sum up a lot on my mind as well. You know, when you talked about parents, what are experiences as well, I think I read a joke on social media somewhere last week about this father who had come back from work, and you know, the children had a report in their hands and they gave it to him. He looked at it, really? So you failed again? What is this? And the father was going on and on, and they were like, Daddy, calm down. We found this in a book somewhere. It was your results when you were a kid. And then at that point, he said, and this was a long time ago, and these days. And then, you know, so yeah. Sometimes we're asking too much of these children. Yeah. Who were you when you were a child yourself, you know? PK, I also would want to believe that, like, expecting so much from our children,
yeah,
wanting them to turn out good, sometimes the intention is not that I am comparing you,
no,
but I'm letting you see how much effort somebody else is putting into this thing, and I know that you can put in so much. Sometimes some of these things, I want to believe that
you're
come from a good place. Right, they may be coming from a good place.
Of course, why not? As someone who teaches English, I would say that I think that the timing and the words you use.
Okay.
For example, I mean, people may negatively call them comparisons, but there's a term called best practices. You understand me? It all has to do with how you show in that student your love and your trust, your genuine care. I mean, I don't think that there's anything wrong with a parent expecting the child, as the student said. But it is the way we present it. Because you see, I once read somewhere that what goes in a teenager's brain is like a building a superstructure. Every other thing is happening at the same time.
It's not easy.
And so you need to be aware. At any point in time, you must know when to have that conversation. Yesterday, I had to think carefully before telling the student whom or the student I'll be bringing to Joy FM. Because if you don't take care, you hurt their self-esteem.
You're trying to tell somebody that I'm not good enough.
You understand me? So I need to choose my words carefully. And that's all the students are saying. They're saying that, look, we know you expect us to do well, but given the circumstances, listen to us and let us tell you what is actually happening, because sometimes what you think is happening is not what is happening.
It's not what is happening.
Now, just imagine a situation where a child is assumed to be dating.